prior to us, let's begin. Kuf, today's daf is Kuf Mem Beis, but we are starting from Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis in the Gemara. Amar Rava, Hotzi Tina Chai V'Kis Talei B'Tzavaro Chai Mishum Kis. Rava said, if a person carries out a baby that's alive, and the baby has like a pouch around its neck, you are Chai for carrying the pouch on Shabbos. Tinok Meis, Chasra, a person is carrying a child who died, V'Kis Talei Lo B'Tzavaro, and there is a pouch around the neck of the child. Potter, Haloch is the person is Potter. Tinok Chai, so the Gemara is going to explain both of these cases. Rava is going to explain. Tinok Chai, V'Kis Talei B'Tzavaro, if you have a case of a child who's alive, and the pouch is around its neck, Chai Mishum Kis, so Rava said you're Chai because of the pouch. V'Lechai Na'amin Mishum Tinok, why shouldn't you be Chai for carrying the baby? Rava Krabi Nosan, because Rava holds like Rabbi Nosan, who says, Damar Chai no se es atzmo. So we'll say again, if you remember, we had this concept before, that a Chai, a living person, always shifts its weight, and therefore is viewed as if it carries itself. I believe, and therefore again, you're only Chai for the kiss. I believe, battle kiss legabi tinok. Why don't we say that the kiss, the pouch, is bottle, is secondary to the child? And therefore, again, if you're not going to be chayif for carrying the child, you're also not chayif for carrying the kiss. Milo tonight, after all, did we not learn? If you carry a live person in a bed on Shabbos, you're potter even on the mita. Shamita, because the bed, tfeilalo, is secondary to the living person. To which the Gemara says, mita legabi chayim levatli lay. A bed to a living person is considered to be bottle. Kis legabi tinoch lo mevatli. Because we'll say, again, since the bed is there to serve the needs of the person, by definition, it's bottle to the chai. The kiss, on the other hand, which is not there to serve the needs of the child, it's the child's toy, is not bottle the gabi the child, and therefore you will be chai for that. Tinok meis, the kiss talei lo b'tzavaro. If a person was carrying the child that died, and again, the pouch was around the child's neck, potter, so the halacha is your potter for everything. So the Gemara says, I with the chai lishum tinok, I but why aren't you chai for going in and carrying at least the baby? To which the Gemara says, Rava Rabbi Shimon, Svirle, Damar, Komalacha, Shin, Tzricha, Lagufa, Pater. Because Rava holds like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon holds any malacha that's not done, that's not necessary for its intended purpose, is Pater. What's the famous Rabbi Shimon that he's studied a number of times? So Rashi points out over here that in general, a Tzotzah is done because you want object A in place, you want the object that's in place in point A to go to point B. When you're removing the child from the home, it's lav dafka that you dafka on the child in point B. It's that you need to remove the mace from the home. Because of that, that's considered to be a malacha shina tzricha l'gufa. And if according to Rabbi Shimon, you will be potter for everything. So the Gemara says, Tanan. Tell me a Mishnah that supports this idea. No tell Adam espino va'evin biado. A person can pick up his child, even if the child is holding a stone. So the Gemara says, Amri debe Rabbi Yanai, but in the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, they qualified this case, and they said the following, Betinok sheyesh lo ga'aguin al oviv. The only case in which we allow this is a case where the child has intense longing for its father. Rashi says over here the following. Rashi says, Betinok sheyesh lo ga'aguin al oviv, shim lo yitlenu yachla. If you don't pick up the child, the child's going to get sick. So we'll say, the Rabbi Yanai qualify this, and they say, when do we allow the parent to pick up the child if the child is holding a mukta item? That's when the child really is longing for the father. That if you don't pick up the child's going to become a mess. It doesn't mean chashom sakhanas nefashos, Rashi points out. It just means the child's going to become sick over being upset that the father's not picking them up. So in that case, again, Chazal suspended the prohibition to pick up the child who's holding something mukta. But in the absence of Yeshal Ga'aguin al-Aviv, if the child is holding something mukta, we would tell the father, before you pick up the child, have the child put down the mukta item. So the Gemara says, Ihachi tap of Kuf Mem Beis. My iria even afilu dinar nami. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, you're dealing with a child who has intense longing for his father, then halocha lemaisa. Then why only if the child's holding an even? Even if the child is holding a dinar, the child's holding a dollar bill, right? The silver dollar, you should also be able to pick up the child. But alama amar Rava, why did Rava say lo shanu ella even? It's only true if the child's holding a stone that you can pick up the child if the child has gaguin. Aval dinar aser, but if the child's holding a dinar, right, the father can't pick up the child. So the Gemara says, even enough lalo, lo asi avua li isuye. For the simple reason of Osai, because if the child drops the stone, the father's not going to go pick it up. Dinar inafa asi avuha la'asriye. When it comes to the dinar, however, if the father sees the kid drop the dinar, the father may inadvertently go ahead and pick up the money. Tanya kavase di Rava, we have a price that supports Rava. Hamotzi shavose, again, where the Gemara is holding at this point in time is that halocha lemaisa, if the child is holding something mukta, so again, if it's a case of Yeshlo Ga'agu and Alav, if it's a case where halocha lemaisa, according to Rava, that the child needs to be picked up, then the father could go ahead and pick him up. But otherwise, if it would be a case where the father could first convince the child to put the item down, according to Rava, that would be preferred. Tanya Kavase, Rava, we have a brace that supports Rava. Hamoti Kelav Mikufalim. If a person goes ahead and walks out in the Shurabin, and his clothing is folded up, Umunachim Al Ksefo, and is resting on his shoulder, Visandalav Vitabaosa Biado, and his sandals and his rings are in his hand, Chayiv, he's Chayiv. Now we'll say, what does this mean? Let's imagine the scene. I walk out and my cloak is folded on my shoulder. I'm not wearing it. It's sitting on my shoulder and my shoes are not on my feet, right? I'm holding my shoes. So the Gemara says, Yechayif. Yechayif for that. Rashi says, okay, no, we have to Rashi. So we'll just look at Rashi. Tanya Kavase de Rava. Dechi noket la elyon keman da afka tachton gufei dami v'chayif. So we'll say what this price is going to show is the idea that if you lift something, even though the something you are lifting is not muktzah, but that something is holding something secondary, that you could also be chayiv for carrying that secondary item. So the Gemara says, the Bryce has a couple of steps over here. So if a person goes out and is carrying their clothing on top of their shoulder, but if the person was wearing their clothing, then potter. Then obviously I will say again, there's no din of hotzah for things that you're wearing. Hamotzi Adam v'kelav alav v'sandalav biraglav v'tava osa v'yadav pater. Similarly, if I carry a person out into the Rosh Hashanah and a person is wearing his clothing, wearing his shoes, wearing his rings, I'm pater, right? Obviously, again, I'm pater on the person, right? And the clothing that's on the person, because again, chay nosei es atzmo, and the clothing is considered to be part of the person. V'ilu hotzi kamos shein chayiv. But, I will say again, if Reuven has his cloak on his shoulder, not wearing his cloak, and I lift up Reuven and carry Reuven into Rosh Saradin, I'm not chayiv for Reuven, but I am chayiv for what? I am chayiv for carrying the cloak. So the Braisa clearly supports Rava, that aloch lemaisa, if you carry something that is carrying or that is holding something that is a mukto or not non-carryable item, I, the first carrier, will be chayiv. Kalkala va'evin besocha. So the Mishnah said if you have a basket and you have a rock inside of it, that you are permitted to go ahead and carry the rock, or should you be permitted to carry the basket with the rock inside. So the Gemara says, Va'amai. Why is that? Tehevikal kala bosis l'davar ha'asar. Why doesn't the basket become a base to a mukta item? After Rabbi say rock is mukta. Sitting in the basket, an item that supports mukta is a basis l'davar ha'asar, and the basis l'davar ha'asar, you can't move on Shabbos, so why can you move the basket? To which the Gemara says, Amar Rabba bar bar chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, hacha b'kal kala melea peiros. What are we talking about over here? Askinon. We're talking about a basket that's filled with fruit. So also, because the basket is filled with fruit, there's a concept of basis l'davar ha'asar, davar ha'motor. If you have a base that supports permitted items and prohibited items, the permitted items allow for the transference of or for the movement of the buses. So in this case over here, there's fruit in the basket. There's also a stone. So because there's fruit, that allows for movement of the basket. So the Gemara says, but one second, v'lishadinu l'peri, v'nishte l'heaven, v'naknetinu b'yadayim. Why don't you dump out the basket, right tip over the basket, let the fruit fall out. The stone may fall out as well, and you'll collect the fruit. Why do you have to even tell the basket? Just tip it and collect your fruit. Kidrabi Eloi, Amarav, Peperos Hametunafin. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about fruit that can be easily soiled. So, what does that mean? The fruit themselves are soft and you're in a very dirty area. The point is, you can't dump out the basket.
Also gathering, right?
I'm sorry?
Also gathering, right? You'd be.
No, the Gemara doesn't have a problem with Ma'amer over here. Okay. No problem with Ma'amer. Because Ma'amer also generally has to do with things that are spread out in the field. This is just talking about dumping a basket over here. So peres mitunafin. How can I peres mitunafin? Why don't you say so? Why don't you just again? The Gemara is asking is there's got to be a way to get that rock out without you having to even total it everywhere you go. So why don't you just shuffle around the basket a little bit and shake the rock out of the basket? What are we talking about over here? We're talking about a basket that has a breach, a basket that has a hole. Rashi says, "Pichusa shenifches dofna oshulaha." There is a hole either in the side or on the bottom. And what? The even gufa nas is dofna lekalkala. So it's a very interesting case where the stone itself has essentially has become part of the kli. It fills the hole either in the side or on the bottom. So according to the Gemara, that's the case that the Mishnah is talking about, where halacha lemaisa, there's really no way for you to get the stone out of the kli itself, because the stone is necessary for the kli. You can even tell the basket. And what's that? True, this halacha lemaisa, even if that wasn't true, you'd be able to even tell the basket, because again, we pass in that a bas is ladavra asr b'mutter. If something is the base for a mutter item and a prohibited item, you can move it for the sake of the permitted item. The Tatl and Truma. So the Mishnah says the following. You can go ahead and carry Truma Temeah with Torah. So remember, we spoke about the idea. Truma Temeah is Muktzah on Shabbos because it can't be used for anything other than Asaka. Anything other than burning. So because that, it really has no Shabbos purpose. But if you have Truma, Tahora, and Temeah mixed together, then Halacha L'maaseh, you can carry the basket because of the Truma Temeah. Same basic principle as the previous case. So because of Truma Tahora. So I'm Rav Chista. Lo shanu ella shetahora lamata. When can you carry the full basket? Only if the truma tahora is on the bottom of the basket, utmeya lamala, and the truma tmeya is on top. Look at Rashi, utmeya lamala, v'hutzarech letahora. You need the truma tahora. The eno yachol lita atmeya biadayim lefiyishu mukta. So I say, here's the interesting case. So now what happens? I need the truma tahora, but the truma tahora is underneath the truma tmeya. I can't move the Truma Temeah directly by hand, because Truma Temeah is Mukta. Lefichach yitaltel ha'kol ad, I'm reading Rashi, ad ha'shulchan, v'yishlach ha'kol alav, v'yitah ha'tahora. So your only choice is like this. I have my basket of Truma Temeah and Tahora. Temeah is on top, Torah is on the bottom. I need to take it to the table to be able to dump it out on the table and collect my Truma Tahora from that. So the Gemara says, Avol, back in the Gemara, Tahora lemalu, Temeah lemata, but if the Truma Tahora is on top, and the Truma Temeah is on the bottom, then what? Shoki le litora v'shavik le litoma. Litmeah, then in that case, Rabbi said, I could just scoop the Truma Tahora from on top of the basket. I have no license to move the basket, because there's no need for that. So Gemara says, 1 second. V'chi tahora lamata nami lishadinu v'laktinu. Why don't you say that even if the Truma Tahora is on the bottom, dump the basket, just dump the basket right where it is, and collect the Truma Tahora. So the Gemara says, Amarav Yiloy, Amarav, the peros hametunaf in askinon. So the Gemara gives the same answer that I gave before. We're dealing with fruit that could be or item that could become easily soiled, and therefore you can't dump it out on the ground. Meisve, the Gemara raises a kasha. Metaltol in truma tmeya in tahora ve'im ha'chulin bein shetahora lemala utmeya lemata bein shetmeya lemala utahora lemata. Oh, so the Brisa says you can go ahead and you can transport a basket with me that has Truma Temeya and Tahora to mix together, and what? And it makes no difference what's on top and what's on the bottom. This seems to be the case. Also remember, Rav Chista was the one who just said before that the only time you have the license to move the basket is when the Truma Tahora is on the bottom. Then halacha lemaisa, you need to move the basket because you need to move everything to the table to dump it out. But if the Truma Tahora is on top, you have no license to move the basket because all you need to do is collect the Truma Tahora from the top of the basket. The Brisa contradicts Rav Chista. Brisa says, no matter where the Truma Tahora is, you can move the basket. This is fascinating. So Rav Chista says, no, it's not a kasha. Masnisin l'tzorech gufo, Brisa l'tzorech mekomo. Oh, the Mishnah and the Brisa are talking about two different cases for what you need. In the case of the Brisa, in the case of our Mishnah, what do I need? I need the Truma Tahora. That's what I need on Shabbos. That's called Tzorech Gufo. I need the Truma Tahora itself. Therefore what? Therefore, very simple. Essentially, I'm allowed to do whatever I need to do to get the Truma Tahora. And that's what Rav Chista says. If the Truma Tahora is on top, I don't have to do anything with the basket. I just have to take the Truma Tahora out. If the Truma Tahora is on the bottom, then I need to take the basket to the table so I can dump it out. The Brisa is talking about, what do I need? Tzorech Mekomo. I need the space that the basket occupies. The basket is sitting. I need that space. So therefore, in that case, then what? It makes no difference if the Truma Tahora is on top or on the bottom. All I need is a license to move the basket. And as long as there's a Dabar Mutter in there, I'm permitted to move the basket because I need the space that it occupies. So the Gemara says, one second. My duchki Rav Chisda lo ukmi masisan zorach kufo. What compels Rav Chisda to interpret the Braisa as dealing with zorach kufo? So remember, according to Rav Chisda then, our Mishnah that says that you can go ahead and transport the basket with Truma Tahora and Truma Tameya in there together is dafka dealing with a very specific case of where you Tzorach Gufo, I need the Truma Tahora, and the Truma Tahora is on the bottom, underneath the Truma Tameya. Therefore, the Mishnah is telling me that I can move the basket to the table to dump it out and collect the Truma Tahora. So the Gemara says, why does Rav Chisda feel compelled? That's a very narrow definition of a case. Why do you feel compelled to interpret it that way? Amarava, very simply, interestingly, Amarava, Masnisin Kavase Daika. The Mishnah seems to lend itself to this interpretation. Why? Diktani Seifa, because we'll see in the next Seifa here, refers to the next Mishnah, Ma'os Sha'al Hakar, if you have money left on your pillow, Menair Es Hakar Vehe Noflos, you shake off the pillow and the money falls off by itself. Va'amarava Rachana Amarav Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ela Tzorech Gufo. That's talking about where you need the pillow itself. Aval tzorech mikomo, but if you need the space that the pillow occupies, metalflow, you can move the pillow. Ve'ol dan alav, even if the money's still on it. Umedisefa letzorech gufo, and since the next Mishnah is talking about a situation where you need the object itself, reishanami letzorech gufo. Therefore, Rav Chisda feels it's appropriate to interpret this first part, this first Mishnah, as letzorech gufo as well. So it's like, according to this particular reasoning, then halacha l'maaseh, everything depends on what it is that you need in the basket, or you need the basket for. If you need it for the Truma Tahora, that's what you need, then everything depends on the positioning of the Truma Tahora. Truma Tahora is on top, you can't move the basket. You just scoop it out, and that's it. Truma Tahora is on the bottom, you can move the basket to a place that you could dump it out. Now, also, again, that also presupposes that what? That the contents of the basket cannot be spilled out right here where the basket is. Because if the contents of the basket can be spilled out right here, then again, you have no license to move the basket. But assuming they can't be spilled out over here, you need to move to a table, you could do that if the Truma Tahora is on the bottom. If the Truma Tahora is on top, just have to take it right there. However, if I need the place that the basket is occupying, I need that space, then I'd be permitted to go and move the basket, no matter where the Truma Torah is. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Mali. So we'll say again, if you remember again, the Mishnah said that Rabbi Yehuda said you could even go ahead and take the one son. I will say again, just to reorient ourselves. Truma. Remember, the more kadosh an item, the greater the ratio you need in order to nullify it. So, for example, if Truma gets mixed in with Chulin, bless you, Truma is only batal in a ratio of 100 parts Chulin to 1 part Truma. So, one Sa'a of Truma falls into 100 Sa'a of Chulin, it's batal. But as you pointed out yesterday, Chazal still said, you still have to separate one Sa'a for the Kohen. For the Kohen, because we don't want the Kohen. We don't want the Kohanim to lose their, portion. So, you still have to separate out. So the Rabbi Huda says you could even separate out that one sa'ah on Shabbos. On Shabbos, I want to be clear on something. Unlike a regular case, So you can, Rabbi Huda says you can separate out that one sa'ah on Shabbos. But why should you be able to do this? Are you not in essence fixing the mixture? Look at Rashi. Hakam attacking shemaviyah lidei heter. Right, you're ultimately permitting the mixture. V'nigzar be atu tikun shaydei melacha. The Rebbe says, remember, we all know the following. You know that halacha lemaisa, you're not permitted to tithe on Shabbos. So, for example, if I have untied produce, that is actually muktzah on Shabbos because I can't separate out shumas and maisos on Shabbos. The reason for that is because it's tikkun mana. It's nearer kimalacha. It has the appearance of malacha because I'm fixing something. Right? Right now, the status is I can't use it. By tithing it, I'm fixing the item, which Rashi says is domel malacha. That has the appearance of malacha. So, I don't understand. In this case also, even though the truma's bottle, Chazal said I have to separate out a sa'ah for the kohen. Why? Metakin, it's fixing an item on Shabbos. It should be usher. To which the Gemara says, Hakam attacking Rabbi Huda Rabbi Eliezer Svirle, Dormer Truma Baina Machto. So because Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer says that we view Truma as if it's already sitting on its own. Look at Rashi. Rabbi Eliezer d'amar Truma, Hoyol v'nitna la'alos, achod achos shiyirtzeh, v'ina machto, kilomar ki'ilu muneches levada, v'ina me'urebes. Hilchach lo kamataki midi. So this is very interesting. So since halacha lemaaseh, we know that the one sa'ah has to be separated. So Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Huda holds like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that we view the one sa'ah of truma as if it's already separated, as if it's already, even though it actually has not yet been separated, since it's only to be separated, we view it like it already is separated. Therefore, if you were to go and actually take it, you actually haven't done anything, because truma is always considered to be sitting out separate on its own.
Well, we'll
see. Right now, just for this case, we're not going to apply it to regular truma. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says this nan so a truma shenafla lefachos imeya. If you have a situation of a sav truma that falls into less than a mixture of 100, so there are not 100 parts chulin to the one sav truma v'nidmu, and as a result, again, the mixture becomes prohibited. And I will say, since this is an interesting case, so let's say you have a situation of one sa'ah of truma that falls into 98 sa'ah of chulin. So the truma is not batal. And now what happens? Let's say some of that mixture now falls into another mixture of chulin of less than 100 sa'ah. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, midama'as kitshumas vadai. V'chachamim omrim, ein hameduma medame el lefi cheshav. So it was a fascinating machlokis. Now again, one more time. I have a sa'ah of truma that fell into 98 sa'ah of chulin, which means that the truma is not batal. Now some of that mixture falls into another mixture of chulin, less than 100 times chulin. So the question of Osai is, how do we view that first piece that fell in? Do we view it as 100% truma? 100% truma? Or do we have a proportion of truma? Meaning, we look at the first mixture, and we see the proportion of truma vis-a-vis the chulin, and we use that same proportion for the amount that gets mixed into the second mixture. So Rabbi Eliezer holds, no, we treat the whole thing like truma. Chachamim say, no, we look at it proportionally. So I will say, the point the Gemara is making over here is, you see that according to Rabbi Eliezer, in a mixture of truma, the truma amount is considered to be separate and distinct. So the Gemara says, one second, Eimer the Shamas L'chumra. Say that Rabbi Eliezer only holds that L'chumra. L'kula mishamisli. How do you know that Rabbi Eliezer would actually hold that l'kula? Because also remember, in our case, it's a kula. Because in our case, what we're saying over here is that halacha l'maaseh, Rabbi Eliezer would allow the removal of the one sa'ah of truma on Shabbos, because he feels that it's already like it's set aside. Who says that he holds that l'kula? Elohuda amar k'Rav Shimon. You're right, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rav Shimon. What does Rav Shimon say? This not sa'ah truma shenafla l'meya. If one sa'ah of truma falls into 100 sa'ah of chulin, what's the interesting case? And now what happens? Before I get a chance to go in and separate out one sa'ah of truma, another sa'ah of truma falls in. Hare zu asura, v'Rabbi Shimon matir. So interesting enough, Rabbi, I'll say what happens. So here's the interesting case. So now I have one sa'ah of truma falls into 100 parts chulin. Okay? Now technically speaking, that's batal. But before I have a chance to separate out my one sa'ah of truma that I'm supposed to do, what happens? Another sa'ah of truma falls into the mixture. So now what happened? So the Gemara says, the Chachamim say, Tanakama says, it's Aser. It's Aser. The whole thing is Aser. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's Mutter. And I will say, what we're trying to say over here, the suggestion the Gemara is making is, the reason Rabbi Shimon would say that it's Mutter is because according to Rabbi Shimon, the moment that the first sa'ah of truma falls into the 100 sa'ah of chulin, it's batal. And the moment that it's batal, we also view the sa'ah of truma as automatically separate. So when the second sa'ah falls in, that's a new case. And it will be batal as well. Umimai, Dilma Hasan Bahakamifli. Maybe they're arguing about the following point. The Tana Kama Savar Afagav Dinaflu Bezeh Achrazeh Kiman Dinaflu Bas Achas. Maybe the point of contention is like this. The Tana Kama holds that even though the two sa'ah of truma fell in one after the other, we view it halachically as if they both fell in at the same time. Therefore, what you have is two sa'ah of truma falling into 100 sa'ah of chulin, which is not batal. Literally, he says, it's as if one sa'ah of truma fell into 50 sa'ah of chulin, and the second sa'ah of truma fell into 50 sa'ah of chulin as well. Rabbi Shimon Savar, no. Kamaisa batal b'meya, v'hati batal b'meya v'chad. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, when they fall in contiguously, right, when they fall in one after the other, not at the same time, then what happens? When the first one falls in, it's batel, which means what? Rabbi, say, now what do you have? You have actually 101 sa'ah of chulin. Because Rabbi say, remember what's happening over here. Technically speaking, when Truma falls into 100 sa'ah of chulin, the whole thing is chulin. It's the rabbis that stepped in and said, but we don't want the coin to go ahead and lose out, so please separate out one sa'ah of Truma, even though, again, technically you don't have to. So Rabbi Shimon says when that first sa'ah falls in, okay, it's batel. When the second sa'ah falls in, it's even better. Why? Because when the second sa'ah falls in, it's actually falling into what? 101 sa'ah of chulin. Because the previous sa'ah of Truma that fell in was already batel. So the Gemara says, Elohu. Okay, so once I say that, remember, just keep an eye on the ball over here. What are we trying to do? We're trying to figure, because there's a lot of information coming out. We're trying to figure out, who does Rabbi Yehuda hold by? Because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that on Shabbos, I can go ahead and remove a sa'ah of Truma from this mixture of 101 sa'ah. Right? One sa'ah of Truma fell into 100 sa'ah of chulin, it's all batel. I still have to remove a sa'ah of Truma. Rabbi Yehuda says, I could even do that on Shabbos. Whose opinion does this reflect? Ella, who the Amr Rabbi Shimon Elazar? Here's the Shimon Elazar. This time, yeah. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Omer, no sin in of bitzadze, the ocha mitzad acher. Listen to this. Because Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, the truth is, you can view Truma as being separate, even without actually separating. How so? I set my eyes on the area from which I'm going to separate it, Truma, and what happens? I eat from the other side. I designate, right? So I know I'm going to be, for argument's sake, I have a bushel of apples, so I know I'm going to eat Truma from the northeast corner, so I eat from the southwest corner. So therefore, again, you see that according to Rosh Hashanah Lazar, that halacha lemaisa, what? Halacha lemaisa, we can view the Truma as separate and distinct even before it's actively been separated. So I said, one second. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hook up Shimon al-Azhar? After all, Baha, Miflik, Polygilune. We see elsewhere that he actually argues on him. The Sanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ma'alin is Hamaduma ba'achadumeya. Or Rabbi Shimon al-Azhar Omer, no sin in of bitzadze, va'ochal mitzad acher. So but we see they argue. Because after all, the Braisa actually has them pitted one against the other. Rabbi Yehuda says that on Shabbos you're permitted to go ahead and remove the one sa'ah of Truma from the 100 sa'ah of Chulin. And Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, well, you could set your eyes on one area that you're going to go ahead and remove from there, you can eat from the other. So they seem to be arguing. To which they want to say something amazing. To Rabbi Yehuda, adifa mid Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Rabbi Yehuda is even more lenient than Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Elazar allows you to, we'll call it, I don't know if this is a word, optically designate. Right? The word works, right?
Yeah.
TM, right? Optically, visually, that's better. Right? I could visually designate, right? I could visually designate the Truma. I could say, right there, I'm taking, Rabbi Yehuda takes it a step further. Because once you accept the fact that it's separate, because remember, I said they're both working with the same basic principle, which is that Truma is viewed separate and distinct from the Chulin of which it's a part. So once you say that, Rabbi Yehuda takes it a step further and says, once it's separate, there should be no problem with what? With actively separating it. Because once it's separate, the tikkun, the rectification of the produce, is already done. Once it's already done, there should be no reason why you shouldn't be able to take it bi'adayim and actively separate it. Okay. Says the Mishnah.
How's that not kosher?
I'm sorry?
How's that not kosher?
Because it's not mixed together. It's on the side. It's a piece. Right? You know, first of all, it's not borer because it's one min. Right? Borer requires two species. It's all the same thing. All the same thing. And even if it were two species, remember, you're taking from a portion on the side. That's not called borer. But again, they don't have to get into that. It's one thing, one min. So the Gemara Mishnah says the following. If you have a stone that's on top of a barrel. So we'll say, actually, the Gemara made reference to this case a couple of weeks ago. If you have a stone that's on a barrel, not, and obviously you want to get to the barrel, right? Or you want to get to the contents of the barrel. It's been a long week. Right? So now, all right, so I want to get into that barrel. So what happens? Mata al tzida, I can shift the barrel on its side. Vihino fellas. And the stone falls off. So we'll say again, no chiddush, tilpum min atzad, indirect movement, the muktam, and the shift, the barrel stone just falls off. Ha'isa bin achavios, what happens, however, if, let's say, this was a barrel in the midst of other barrels, right? So now the problem, of course, is going to happen is, if I go ahead and I shift the barrel on the side, that stone may hit other barrels and potentially break something. So then what do? Magbia, I lift up the barrel, umata al tzida, Behino fellas. So meaning I could lift up the barrel, take it to somewhere else, and move it, And still same process. I'm not handling the stone directly. I'm still just going to go ahead and tilt the barrel, but like this, I don't tilt the barrel right there. I can take the barrel somewhere else to tilt it. Mo'os shalakar, I left money on my pillow. Menair esakar vein noflos, I could shake off the pillow and the money just falls off to the side. Haisa alav lash leshes, if there was, Rashi points out over here, lash leshes is shum davar mius. Kigon rokot soa. So lash leshes is schmutz. Schmutz. So I have some schmutz on my clothing, right? Or on anything else. Mekancha besmirtut. I can go ahead and wipe it off with a rag. I can wipe it off with a rag. Now Rashi points out over here, velo yitin alea mayim. But I can't put water on it. Distam kar shal beged hu beged shriyaso b'mayim hu kibusar. So again, I can't go ahead assuming that this is an item made of some type of material, right? Fabric, I can't clean it with water on Shabbos because the fabric will absorb the water, and again, it's a problem of libur. It's a problem ultimately of laundering on Shabbos. So I could try to get it off with a rag, but I can't go ahead and use water. Haisa shal or, however, again, if let's say the material that I'm trying to clean is leather, nosin alea mayim, I could put water on it. Ad shetechla, until the stain is gone. So I said the idea behind that is that since halacha lemaisa, leather is not normally laundered with water. Therefore, again, this would not be a form of kippos. This would not be a form of laundering. It'd be fine. Obviously, we have to qualify the scope of this ruling. Amarav huna amarav. Lo shano ela b'shocheach. When do we allow you to move the stone off the top of the barrel, right through tiltul min atzad, through shifting, tilting the barrel? That's only if you forgot the stone on top of the barrel. But if I intentionally put the stone there before Shabbos, then what? Then the barrel itself becomes a base to a mukta item, which remember again, a basis ladavar aser cannot be moved under any circumstances, even in tzarech gufo umakomo. So if I intentionally put the stone there before Shabbos, I'm out of luck. The case of it is where I forgot the stone there, it's a mukta item sitting on top of a permitted object, because remember, an item only becomes a basis if it was put there by kavana. And then I'd be able to tilt the barrel to get the stone off. So listen to this. Remember, case number two was, let's say the stone is on top of the barrel. I forgot the stone is on top of the barrel. So again, I'm allowed to shift the barrel, tilt the barrel to get the stone off. But let's say the barrel is sitting among other barrels. And I'm concerned that if I try to tilt the stone off, it's going to break the other barrels. So the Mishnah gives me the license to lift up the barrel, take it somewhere else, and shift the stone off like that. So the Gemara says, "Man tano, de kol heicha de ika isura v'hetera, v'hetera tachinon b'isura lo tachinon." Much like this, who is the tano who holds that whenever you have a choice between handling heter or isur, a permitted item or a prohibited item, we always go ahead and handle the permitted item and not the usur item? The Rabbos say, you'll say to yourself, what's the chiddush in that? Of course you're always going to handle the isur item. Remember, no. Gemara is making a very interesting, nuanced point. You could have a situation where the handling of the prohibited item, the iser, entails much less work than handling the permitted item, but yet, the halacha would still be that we handle the permitted item. So what's a good case of this? This case here, right? I will say, what's the easiest thing to do in this case? Just take the fashtonkina stone off the barrel, right? It takes 2 seconds, it's done, you don't break the sweat. Here, what am I doing? Can you imagine this? I'm moving barrels, I'm moving them all over the place. So the Gemara says, clearly the Mishnah is reflecting the opinion that although there's more exertion, it is better to handle the permitted item, therefore only handling the prohibited item indirectly, than to handle the permitted prohibited item directly, even though there's less tircha. Amar Rabba Rachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rashba Yitz, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. This now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say, Haborer kitnis, listen to this. Haborer kitnis piyom. So if someone is doing borer, right? So also remember over here I have lentils. Kitnis are lentils. So with lentils there's chaff and there's the actual lentil itself. So if I need to go ahead and do borer on Yom Tov, Beishamai says, borer ochel v'ochel. So Beishamai says that you go ahead, that on Yom Tov you have to do borer like we do borer. That always has to be ochel mitoch psolas. You have to take the good from the bad, the food from the refuse. So I could take the lentils, but I can't actively separate out the chaff. Beisol says no. Borer kidarko. Decheiko betamchui. Beisol says no. On Yom Tov for ochel nefesh, you could do regular borer. Regular borer. You separate out the normal way. Decheiko literally means on your lap. Betamchui with the sifting plates. I could literally go ahead. Not only could I do psolas, but not only could I separate out the refuse, the psolas, but I could even do it with a kli. Betanya. When is this true? When is it true according to Beis Hillel that you could even could do borer kedarko sha'ochel meruba ala psolas? That's only true if there's more food than refuse, because in that case, then halacha lemaisa, because there's more food than refuse, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, there is less tircha involved with doing real borer. There's less effort involved if you remove the psolas. However, the psolas meruba ala ochel, but ala ochel maisa, if there's more psolas than food, then what? Divrei hakol borer va'ochel. Then everyone will agree that what? That like Beis Shammai said, that you'll go ahead and separate out the ochel. Look at the Gemara. So the Gemara says the following. So look at... Alright, fine. So the Gemara says, v'ha'ha'chi. But in our case over here, so the Gemara says, but one second, in the case of the barrel with the wine, should this not be viewed as a case of ochel meruba ala psoles? What does that mean, Rabbi Osai? There's more food than refuse. What does that mean? There's greater tircha involved with going ahead and what? With going ahead and moving the barrel, the ochel, than there is with removing the rock. If that's the case, correct, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, what did he just say before? That halacha lemaisa, when do we say that you take the ochel from the psoles? That's only if there's less tircha, less effort involved in going ahead and removing the ochel. But if there's more tircha involved in removing the ochel, then what? Then Rav Shimon Gamliel will say you take away the psoles. So in this case over here, there's more tircha involved with moving the barrel, the ochel, than there is with removing the psoles of the rock. So why don't we just move the rock? It's more something very interesting. Hochenami kevan di iboy lemishkol lo mishtaki layayin ad shakili leeven ke psoles meruba ala ochel dar. So this is very interesting. So what we say is like this. When it comes to the barrel, inevitably you're going to end up moving the barrel. Why? Because when you get to the bottom of the barrel, it's going to be a good Shabbos, right? When you get to the bottom of the barrel, so apparently, again, in order for you to get out the stuff from the bottom of the barrel, you always have to lift up and tilt the barrel. So what the Gemara is saying is, you're going to have to lift that barrel anyway. So therefore, once you're going to have to lift the barrel over the course of Shabbos, the Gemara says you're going to end up doing double work if you move the stone first and then have to move the barrel later on. You might as well just move the barrel first, since again, that's already going considered to be a Shabbos need. And then, as a result of moving the barrel, you'll tilt the stone off afterwards. Correct. That's not how we do it, but we look at the action itself. Since, again, the concept of lifting the barrel over the course of Shabbos is something that will happen, therefore, moving the stone now and moving the barrel later is considered to be a tircha yisir. You're right. In Achanam, you may end up moving the barrel twice regardless, but right now, looking at that action, the act of movement of the barrel is something that is going to be done, therefore, to just move the stone now is tircha yisir. Therefore, the Gemara supports the position of the Mishnah that, again, you would lift up the barrel now, tilt the stone off indirectly. Ha'isa ben ha'chaviyos magbiya. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, ha'isa ha'chaviyah ha'chavis munechas ba'otzar, o'shay ikliz chukis munach in takta. So also, the Gemara is not just continuing on the previous theme. If the barrel was sitting in an otzar, sitting in a storehouse, or there are glass utensils sitting around it, magbiya l'makom achar, you lift up the barrel, take it somewhere else, umata al-tzida, and you turn it on its side, you tilt it on its side, v'hino fellas, and ultimately the stone falls off, take from the barrel what you need from it, and halacha lemaisa, you return to its place. So, Michael, this addresses your question over here. According to Rabbi Yossi, in this kind of situation, you are really removing the contents of the barrel now. You're taking everything now. If you had money on the pillow, so again, remember, the Mishnah said that you shake off the pillow. You shake the pillow, and the money comes off. That's only where you forgot the money on the pillow. But if you intentionally place the money on the pillow, then the pillow becomes a basis. Once the pillow becomes a basis, you can't move the basis on Shabbos. This is what we said before. This is only if you need the pillow itself, right? I want to put my head down on the pillow, right? So I need the pillow itself. Right, I want the pillow itself. So then again, halacha lemaisa, I shake the money off the pillow. However, but if I need the place that the pillow occupies, right? I don't need the pillow itself. I need the place the pillow occupies. Then metaltalo va'odin alav, I don't have to shake the money off the pillow. I can actually move the pillow with the money on it. The chintani chia barav midifti lo shono elatzorach gufo aval tzorach mekomo metaltalin va'odin alav. Ma'os sha'alakar minayr. If the money's on the pillow, you can shake it off. Amar Rav Oshia, shachach arneki b'chatzer, maniach alei kar otinok u'metalatol. So Rav Oshia says something very interesting. If I forget my wallet in the chatzer, and again, I'm concerned about a significant loss, and I want to be able to bring my wallet in. So what do? I place a loaf of bread on top of the wallet, or a baby on top of the wallet, and once I'm carrying the bread or the loaf, I can carry the wallet also. Amr Rav Yitzchok, shachach, we'll say again, the logic behind that is that by putting the permitted item on top of the prohibited item, the act of carrying is considered to be an act of carrying the permitted item, and not of the prohibited item. So the Gemara says the following. Amr Rav Yitzchok, shachach levena. Similarly, if I forgot a brick in the chatzar, apparently, again, this brick was also worth a significant amount of money, and I want to bring it, and I forgot in the chatzar. Maniach alei kikar otinok umetaltala. I put a loaf of bread, or maybe on top of it, I could carry it. Amr Rav Yehuda bar Shila, Amr Rav Asi, pam achos shachachu desakya melea maos besrachya. So they had the following case. It's mamish happens all the time. I forgot my sack of money. Right, it happens. Right, I forgot my sack of money in the sracha, right in the thoroughfare. And what happens? I want to move it on Shabbos. Ubo'u b'sholos Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan, and they asked Rabbi Yochanan, what could we do? Ba'amrlan, Rabbi Yochanan said to them, "Hinichu alei kikar otinok, v'tiltula, place a loaf of bread or a baby on top of the sack of money, and you can carry everything." Amr Marzutra, hilchasa kichol hanishmaisisa b'shocheach. Right, so Mazutra said, in all of these cases, halacha lemaisa, as long as you actively forgot the item, meaning it wasn't intentionally placed there, you could use this, it's a subterfuge, you could use this subterfuge of putting the baby or the loaf on it, and you could carry it back in. Rav Ashi Amar Shafilu Shachach Nami Lo. Rav Ashi says, no, you're all wrong. Velo Amru Kikar Otinok Ela Lenes Bilvad. Rav Ashi says, you are confusing your halachos. This dispensation of using the baby or the loaf of bread to allow you to carry a mukta item was only set in a very specific case of the corpse. It was only set in the case of a corpse. Right? Again, remember the corpse is mukta. The corpse is mukta. But again, there's an issue on Shabbos of nivul hanes. We don't want to leave a body somewhere. So what do? Because of kavod abrios, Chazal relaxed the laws of mukta and allowed you to employ this subterfuge. Allowed you to go and employ this ramos, this veil, this halachic veil. And they say, okay, you can put the baby or the loaf on top of the corpse and allow you to carry it like that. But says Rav Ashi, it does not apply in any other area. So halacha says that is how we pask it. That this whole baby loaf thing, not baby loaf, but the whole baby slash loaf heter is only a din by mace, out covered on brios, but would not allow you to carry any other mukta. What's the stop over here? Sunday. Yeah.